The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mark Newman from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from various medical sources. The People's Pharmacy, Joe and Teresa Graydon. Red raspberry leaves prevent canker sores. Question. I used to have very painful canker sores until I started taking red raspberry leaves in a once-a-day supplement. After about 6 months, I realized that I was not getting canker sores anymore. It has been 20 years, and I still do not get them. I am still taking a red raspberry supplement. It was also helpful for a dear friend of mine suffering mouth sores from chemo. Answer. The name that physicians give canker sores is aphthous ulcers. It's spelled A-P-H-T-O-T-H-O-U-S. There is no obvious cause for these mouth sores, though there are a number of possible contributing factors. Biting your cheek or eating rough foods like pretzels or chips can trigger an attack. Toothpaste with SLS, which is sodium lauryl sulfate, may also bring on canker sores. Red raspberry leaves, or Rubus aedeus, have been used by herbalists and natural healers for centuries. Although there are no scientific studies to support its use for canker sores, some naturopaths recommend a tea or mouthwash made from the leaves swished in the mouth for canker sore relief. Other options include sauerkraut juice or buttermilk swished and swallowed several times daily. Many readers sing the praises of kiwi fruit for painful mouth sores. Question. I suffered for over 5 years from anal itching. I tried different diets, creams, pills, wipes, you name it. Nothing worked until I tried something called Pranicura. It's spelled P-R-A-N-I-C-U-R-A, Pranicura ointment. I am now completely itch-free and have my life back. Answer. Anal itching, a.k.a. pruritus ani, or itchy bottom, can be incredibly disruptive. Good hygiene is essential. The French have used bidets for this purpose for decades. A cheaper alternative would be to gently wipe with witch hazel after a bowel movement. Pranicura contains glycerin, calamine, kaolin, and menthol. Some other readers have also sung its praises. Question. I had toenail fungus for a number of years. I had tried one prescription, a topical paint-on type, which didn't help. Then I tried painting my nails with vinegar, with no result. Then I tried Vicks Vapor Rub on the affected nails. That worked like a miracle. Answer. We first heard about using Vicks Vapor Rub topically for toenails over 20 years ago. A professional foot care nurse reported that she used this old-fashioned herbal ointment on her patients, and it was surprisingly effective. Lisinopril reactions can be life-threatening. And question. I honestly believe you saved my life. By chance, I came across your syndicated column describing reactions to lisinopril. My jaw dropped. I had been hospitalized 8 times for abdominal obstruction, unquote, and had 2 surgeries, one to remove my appendix, which was found to be pink and healthy, and the other for level lysis of adhesions, none found. I had been referred to specialists, scoped up and down, and even went to a specialty clinic. Not one doctor, emergency room, or hospital ever connected my symptoms to the lisinopril I was taking. Since coming off lisinopril, I feel like a new person, well again for the first time in years. Answer. Lisinopril belongs to a class of pril, quote-unquote, blood pressure medications called ACE, which is angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors. While drugs like benazepril, catapril, and enalapril are quite effective, they do have some serious side effects. One that can be life-threatening is called angioedema. In this reaction, a person may find that the lips, tongue, and throat swell and can block breathing. Such swelling may also occur in the intestines. Abdominal angioedema can be hard to diagnose because the symptoms might be mistaken for something else. The swelling can lead to severe cramping, intestinal obstruction, and vomiting. Other readers who have experienced this reaction were initially diagnosed with things like flu allergies, Crohn's disease, and appendicitis. Question. I was recently prescribed metformin to control blood sugar. When the dosage increased from 1 to 2 times a day, I began to have serious depression. After 2 weeks on Synthroid, I was a new person. When I reported this to my internist, she wasn't aware that depression was a side effect. I have found that increasing my dose of B vitamins, especially vitamin B12, helps the depression somewhat. I've had chronic trouble getting enough B12 since I was a teenager, but my doctor monitors my levels. Answer. Metformin is the most commonly prescribed diabetes drug in the world. It works well, but it can cause vitamin B12 deficiency, cited in Diabetes and Metabolism, November 2016. Low vitamin B12 levels have been associated with depression. Other symptoms of B12 deficiency include fatigue, numbness, and tingling, sore tongue, palpitations, shortness of breath. You might ask your doctor to request a methylmalonic acid, MMA, test in addition to your serum B12 blood test. High levels of MMA point to low levels of vitamin B12. Weight loss surgery shown to help the heart, from the Wall Street Journal. Bariatric surgery may substantially lower the risk of heart attacks, strokes, and other major forms of cardiovascular disease, in addition to helping patients lose weight, according to a new research published recently in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Analyzing the electronic health records of over 8 years of 13,722 obese patients with type 2 diabetes and other high-risk health problems, researchers at the Cleveland Clinic found that those who had bariatric surgery, also known as metabolic or weight loss surgery, were 39% less likely to experience a heart or stroke-related event than those who had standard medical care. The surgery patients were also 41% less likely to die from any cause. Those effects were huge, said Ali Amanian, a bariatric surgeon at the Cleveland Clinic and lead author. The study was observational, he cautioned, meaning that it showed an association, but not that the surgery caused the effects. Still, the study adds to previous research suggesting that bariatric surgery may be an effective treatment for severe, costly, chronic conditions in people with excess weight and diabetes, experts said. Studies over more than 2 decades have shown that bariatric surgery can rid some patients of their diabetes or help them get off certain medications. It's a pretty impressive reduction in those cardiac risks. Not a borderline finding at all, said Eric DeMaria, chief of the Division of General and Bariatric Surgery at the Brody School of Medicine at East Carolina University. It makes you wonder why we don't have wider adoption of these treatments. He is president of the American Society for Metabolic and Bariatric Surgery and was not involved in the study. The findings offer a potential path for patients whose diabetes and heart conditions aren't helped by other means, said Stephen Nissen, chief academic officer of the Heart and Vascular Institute at the Cleveland Clinic and senior author of the new study. Bariatric surgery is generally recommended for patients who are 100 pounds or more over their ideal weight, have a body mass index of 40, or a body mass index of 35, along with diabetes, high blood pressure, or other related condition, and can't lose weight and improve their health by other means. Patients with lower BMIs also get the surgery under some circumstances. Body mass index is a calculation based on height and weight. An estimated 228,000 bariatric surgeries were performed in 2017, according to the American Society for Metabolic and Bariatric Surgery. Bariatric surgery isn't a cure-all. It has risks, though improved techniques have made the procedure safer. Dr. Aminian said, it is also expensive, costing as much as $30,000 and not always covered by insurance. From the Costco Connection magazine, Mind Matters. Dementia takes many forms with different symptoms, treatments, and life expectancies. According to researchers, about 6 million adults in the United States and 50 million worldwide live with dementia. This number is expected to more than double by 2060. Dementia is not a specific disease, but a general term for a group of symptoms, including mental decline, severe enough to have an impact on how you function. Dementia is more than forgetting why you entered a room or where you put your keys. Dementia is forgetting where you live or how to do a familiar activity, or not recognizing friends and family. There can be behavior changes, hallucinations, and more. Diagnosing dementia. There is no one test that can diagnose dementia. A diagnosis is usually based on a patient's medical history and symptoms and on ruling out other possible diseases. Cognitive, memory, and neurological tests can indicate how far dementia has progressed. Brain scans may show if there's damage in the brain, particularly for vascular dementia. Different types of dementia. The National Institutes of Health reports that Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia, resulting in about 60% to 80% of dementia cases. Plaques and tangles in the brain tissue damage brain cells. The life expectancy for someone with Alzheimer's disease can be as short as a few years or as long as 20 years, depending on the age when diagnosed. Alzheimer's dementia classically is a slow decline. Usually short-term memory is the first thing people have a problem with. You can look back over a couple of years often and see that decline, explains Dr. Jeffrey Landsman, who is board certified in family medicine and geriatrics at Mercy Personal Physicians in Lutherville, Maryland. Although Alzheimer's is the most common, several lesser-known conditions can cause dementia. These other types manifest with different symptoms and life expectancies, making it important to be diagnosed correctly. Vascular dementia, sometimes called stroke-related dementia. Vascular dementia is caused by arteriosclerosis or by damage from the stroke itself. About 1 out of 10 people who have a stroke show some dementia symptoms. Life expectancy is about 5 years after the symptoms are first noticed. Frontotemporal dementia, FTD. FTD strikes younger adults. Nerve cells in the brain are lost and the temporal and frontal lobes shrink. Symptoms generally start with changes in behavior or difficulty with speech and progress from there. The average life expectancy after the symptoms begin is about 6 to 8 years. Parkinson's disease dementia. Up to 90% of people with Parkinson's disease develop dementia. Aside from confusion and personality changes, Parkinson's disease dementia can also cause hallucinations. Lewy, L-E-W-Y, body dementia, LBD. Lewy body dementia occurs when protein deposits called Lewy bodies build up in the brain. The most common symptoms are memory loss, movement problems, or hallucinations. On average, people with LBD tend to live 6 to 12 years after the symptoms begin. There are other more rare forms as well. Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome, posterior cortical atrophy, and Huntington's dementia. Treating dementia. Some medications may help slow mental decline with Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's and vascular dementia. Lewy body dementia and mixed dementia, which is Alzheimer's and vascular dementia, for the most part, treatment usually focuses on managing or lessening the severity of symptoms or to make life as comfortable as possible. The earlier someone is evaluated for memory loss, the better, especially if the cause is reversible. And if somebody does have dementia, get their financial affairs in order and make sure people have advanced directives, because if you wait too far along, then the person can't be involved in the process, says Landsman. You really want to try to take care of all these things as early as possible. Coping tips. Coping with both the physical and mental aspects of caregiving can be difficult. Here are some tips that may make the journey a bit easier. Keep things simple. Instead of clearing a table, ask the person to put the cup in the sink. One action is easier to remember. Encourage physical activity. Movement keeps your loved one occupied and promotes better sleep. Keep a calm environment. Clutter and loud noises can be disturbing and keep people with dementia from settling. Use music or art. Sing along with old songs, play instruments, enjoy the music together. Try some painting or coloring, watch old TV shows or movies. Try not to argue. Arguing may only escalate things and frustrate both of you. Instead, try to redirect or just agree with when possible. And finally, ask for help. You need this help. Doing it alone is too hard. Finding Alzheimer's disease support is a bit easier than for rarer forms of dementia. But if your loved one's dementia is not caused by Alzheimer's, there are groups that can still provide you with information and support. The Alzheimer's Association, ALZ.org, can also provide information about other types of dementia. Reversing dementia. Dementia may be the result of a reversible cause. The first things to look for are any reversible causes of memory problems, says Dr. Landsman. The workup may include imaging and blood tests to see if the problems are caused by issues like B12 deficiency or thyroid issues, for example. Adverse reactions to medications can also cause confusion or memory problems, Landsman adds. Undetected infections could also cause dementia symptoms, particularly in seniors. Researchers estimate reversible dementia accounts for 12% of cases. Now from the Mayo Clinic Health Letter. Health tips, nutrition for vegans. If you eat a vegan diet, plant-only diet that excludes all animal-derived food, consuming a wide variety of nutritious, minimally processed whole plant foods can meet most nutritional needs. However, some nutrients may be tougher to get, including vitamin B12, fortified foods such as soy products, cereals, or meat substitutes can provide some of the recommended daily amount of vitamin B12, which is 2.4 micrograms. Still, taking a B12 supplement is recommended. Testing vitamin B12 levels periodically also is recommended, particularly in older adults. Vitamin D. This is found in some fortified soy and rice milks and ready-to-eat cereals. Supplementation of 600 international units or more is commonly recommended, particularly if you have a deficiency or limited access to sunlight, which naturally provides vitamin D. However, there is a lack of clear data showing preventive value in vitamin D supplementation in healthy adults. Calcium. Consuming a wide variety of plant foods and fortified almond, rice, or soy milk can provide adequate dietary calcium for most people. It's recommended that older adults talk to a health care provider about calcium levels and possibly about the need for calcium supplementation. Finally, iodine. This mineral is needed for proper thyroid function. It's found in iodized salt and sea vegetables, but a supplement of no more than 500 micrograms a day may be advised. Eating disorders. Older adults aren't exempt. When you think of people with eating disorders, you likely picture teenage girls or young women who are struggling with body image. While these disorders are most common in adolescents and young adults, they can impact women and men of all ages, even into older adulthood. Types of disorders. Eating disorders are serious conditions related to persistent eating behaviors that impact health, emotions, and functional ability in important areas in life. The three most common types of eating disorders are anorexia nervosa. This disorder is characterized by an intense fear of gaining weight and a distorted perception of weight or shape. People with anorexia may excessively limit calories or use other methods to lose weight, such as excessive exercise or the use of laxatives or diet aids, and may reach an abnormally low body weight. Or fear of weight gain may be supplemented by shame over calorie intake, which may be relieved by vomiting or purging or use of laxatives. Bulimia nervosa. With bulimia, people typically eat a large amount of food at one time. They binge. Then, driven by shame, they try to rid themselves of the extra calories in an unhealthy way, such as vomiting. And then binge eating disorder. In this disorder, which is marked by impulsivity, people regularly eat too much and feel a lack of control over their eating. But unlike those with anorexia or bulimia, they don't try to compensate for this behavior. It's believed to be the most prevalent eating disorder in older adults. Body and brain. Older adults experience many of the same body image concerns as their younger counterparts. One large study found that levels of body dissatisfaction remain constant in women of all ages. While another study noted body dissatisfaction and, quote, feeling fat, unquote, being reported by women at a healthy weight. Societal pressures to be thin are linked to eating disorders in older adults, just as they are in adolescents and younger adults. These may be compounded by factors such as excessive life stress, menopause concerns, and fear over age-related appearance changes. One misconception is that an eating disorder is simply a lifestyle choice. Research shows that these disorders result from a complex interaction of genetic, biological, behavioral, psychological, and social factors. In particular, the brain circuitry alterations seen in people who've undergone the semi-starvation found in many eating disorders may complicate recovery and increase the likelihood of relapse. Management steps. An eating disorder is often managed with a team approach, including input from your doctors, mental health professionals, and dietitians. While the treatment depends on the type of disorder, it often involves refeeding, nutritional education, and counseling. A medication also may be recommended, particularly for those who have binge eating disorder. Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, is commonly used to treat eating disorders. CBT can help you learn how to monitor and improve your eating habits, develop problem-solving skills, and explore healthy ways to cope with your feelings and life situations. Medications can't cure an eating disorder, but some, such as the stimulant Vyvanse, V-Y-V-A-N-S-E, may help to control urges to binge and purge or to manage excessive preoccupation with diet. Most of this treatment can be done on an outpatient basis. However, people with severe malnutrition due to anorexia or with serious health issues due to binge eating disorder may require hospitalization or admission into a specialized eating disorder program. Don't hold back. If you need help with diet-based behaviors or your feelings about your body, it's not shameful to ask for help. By seeking treatment, you can help avoid a number of serious health complications and ultimately prolong your life. Similarly, if a loved one appears to be showing signs of one of these issues, encourage him or her to talk to a health professional. By expressing concern and a desire to listen, you may open up the door for him or her to accept help. Mindfulness-based therapy. One therapeutic approach to eating disorders is practiced by some mental health experts at the Mayo Clinic is developing mindfulness techniques. In particular, this practice is effective for managing binge eating disorder and related weight concerns. Mindful eating involves two processes. The first is eating with full awareness and attention rather than eating while distracted by activities such as watching television or working at a desk. Doing so focuses your senses on tasting and savoring your food and teaches you to follow hunger cues. The second component is developing an acceptance or openness toward the experience. By learning this step, you can be freed from reacting to thoughts, feelings, or urges typically associated with a binge episode. Mindfulness can help you to observe how the ebb and flow of your urges to binge are tied to particular triggers, feeling stressed, bored, or lonely, for example, and direct you toward healthy ways to address those urges rather than eating to excess. Skip vitamins, focus on lifestyle to avoid dementia. This is the Harvard Health letter. Vitamins and supplements won't help stave off dementia, but a healthy lifestyle might, suggest new guidelines released May 19, 2019 by the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization warns that the number of new dementia cases around the world, currently 10 million per year, is set to triple by 2050. While there's no cure for any kind of dementia, such as Alzheimer's disease and vascular dementia, the World Health Organization says it may be possible to delay the onset of the disease or slow its progression. The key, managing modifiable risks, such as chronic disease and unhealthy habits. The guidelines recommend that you keep your weight, cholesterol, blood pressure, and blood sugar under control, get lots of exercise, and eat a Mediterranean-style diet, which emphasizes olive oil, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and fish. It minimizes red meats and processed meats and includes a moderate amount of cheese and wine. The WHO, the World Health Organization, also advises that you don't smoke and you avoid harmful use of alcohol, no more than one drink per day for women, no more than two drinks for men. But don't count on supplements to help you stave off dementia. The World Health Organization says there's no evidence that vitamin B, E, multivitamins, or fish oil supplements help reduce the risk for dementia. The agency recommends against using supplements as a means to ward off cognitive decline. Long-lasting grief when close friends pass. Losing a loved one is never easy, and sometimes it can take years to grieve for a partner, parent, or child. That grief often comes with adverse health effects such as stress, depression, insomnia, high blood pressure, and heart problems. But long-lasting grief doesn't come only from a family member's death, suggests a study published online April 4, 2019 by PLOS One, P-L-O-S One. Researchers evaluated questionnaire responses from about 9,600 people who had lost close friends and found this type of grief can last up to 4 years. Women in the study were particularly hard hit by loss of a close friend, experiencing more problems with mental, emotional, and social health than men. Study authors say the passing of a close friend should be considered a substantial experience that warrants help, like a support group, to minimize the negative effects of grief. Our take, grief of any kind poses a health risk, whether it's due to the loss of someone dear or dramatic change in life, such as a job loss or a move to a new city. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mark Newman, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time, and if you have any comment or questions, please call 919-832-5138. You have been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Stay healthy.